Welcome to Situations and Solutions. I'm your host, Pastor Holden.
And I'm your co-host, Minister Greg.
Minister Greg's got the real life situations.
Pastor Holden's got out of this world solutions.
Chill!
Yep, you know what time it is. You know what time it is.
Family. We in here.
We are in the building. What's happening? It's good to be back for another session of Situations and Solutions. Here with the good doctor, Reverend David Holden. What's happening, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's morning time.
It's morning time. I'm telling you, I feel like every time we should always have a session in the morning, because top of the head, top of everything, you know, is that things just kind of stay with you. And so you're much more.
Right. Yeah.
Not that the top evening of the morning is bad, but.
Top of the morning. Yeah, the morning is there's a lot of clarity in the morning sometimes, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Without a question. Yeah, so we're journeying through knowing the New Testament. We're having a great time, great, you know, discussions, you know, rooted right in scripture. And I pray that people are following along and learning new skills to see. And we jump into the book of Philemon, or the letter to Philemon, powerful sermon. And it kind of holds the crux of how we're to see relationships. I think when I think about, you know, what you preached, and when I read over, you know, this letter again and again, your title is so fitting, you know, that Jesus changes relationships, and not just with the people, but with you, how you see relationships, which is powerful. When you keep digging and, you know, reading, the beauty of reading is that you always have this encounter with the word every time you come to it with a new, fresh lens. And so, so just set us up, man. You know, you gave us the technique of how to now be in these letters and to kind of immerse ourselves in, you know, the context, but also kind of understand the vibe, understanding the structure, as you always do, man. Bring us to the setting that's happening here.
Yeah, I can do that definitely and briefly. You know, Philemon was a member of the church at Colossae. In fact, they worshiped in his house. So the church was actually in Philemon's house in Colossae, and that's the Colossian church. And Paul is away. He's in chains. He's actually in chains at the same time with Epaphras, right? And Epaphras is actually the person who was a part of and started the Colossian church. So he's away, and he's actually has some significant relationship to Philemon, because he refers to it. They're brothers in Christ, if you will. And Paul is in, it's probably in Ephesus. Some people think he's in Rome, but that's way too far away. It's 1,300 miles. So Onesimus is a servant and a slave in that day. We would call it now more of an indentured servant. And he's in Colossae with Philemon. He was serving Philemon, and he leaves and meets up with Paul somehow. So probably in Ephesus, Paul is. Onesimus. I said the wrong word. Onesimus is the servant of Philemon. Mm-hmm. And he meets up with, has a dispute. He has a break in the relationship with Philemon. So he seeks out or meets Paul, and Paul takes him in, and he accepts Christ as Savior. Onesimus does. And Paul writes this letter back to Philemon to say, look, I have your servant. He's been with me, Onesimus, and he, you all need to reconcile, because he's now a Christian, and they are different. Now your relationship has changed. He's no longer useless to you. He's useful because he came to Christ.
Right. So that's, yeah, that, I mean, you know, as you were just talking too, it just reminded me of how many relationships, right, are now restored or formed in this letter, right? Because Paul now and Onesimus are brothers too, right? To even have this level of engagement, and Epaphras and Paul have this relationship. But what I love about what this letter brings about, and I'd encourage anyone to read it over and over again. It's only about 20 something verses, but is that you can truly see this, the gospel message right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
That the power of the gospel message, you know, the power of this relationship with Jesus, transforms not only just identity, but how we view relationships.
Right.
Because what I believe, you know, what Paul is getting at here is no matter the circumstance, that once this brother has accepted Christ, this is the time to see the merciful servant who accepted us and to step into that role and to love, like on the basis of love, forgive, reconcile as God has reconciled himself back to, you know, back to be in a right relationship.
Right.
And so when I look at this, right, the issue is this a strange relationship, right? But it's how relationships are formed into brotherhoods and mm-hmm. sisterhoods in Christ, which is foreign to the world. So when, you know, one of the things that when listening to you talking, you know, and reading it was this idea of being useless. And I was like, man, what previously was useless to you? So there is definitely a level of discontent, but there's also this kind of like, wait, maybe the uselessness is kind of, well, y'all live in two different lives. And so you can't see relationship. You don't have a relationship because there is no, you and I have a partnership. He doesn't stand it. And he doesn't live by those, you know, that statues, those customs. But now that he does,
right,
we need to embrace him into the family, right? Even beyond the infraction. Oh, Lord, forgive us for the infractions we commit in our relationships.
Right.
Yeah. And so it just says to me, man, that you know, sometimes we make mountains too high to climb for people to, you know, get back into relationship when they have accepted Christ. It's like, you accepted Christ, you don't need to, we need to kind of move into and not away from, you know, each other.
Right. And it's less a concern, a much less a concern of what happened, like you're saying, what happened.
Mm-hmm.
What happened under different circumstances and the different rules, like you're saying, they've had different rules, guidelines for their relationship. The guidelines have now changed.
Yeah.
And because the guidelines and the rules of the relationship between Onesimus and Philemon have changed because Onesimus accepted Christ. Now you've got to reformat what that relationship looks like. Like, yeah, we're you're a different person.
Right.
And so this is a different relationship. And so you can't hearken backwards to a relationship that doesn't exist anymore. That's what really Paul's saying. The relationship Onesimus that you had before, that you know, and that's all you know, is gone. It's dead. And because of the reconciling work of Jesus. And so that's why Paul argues, his argument, you know, is for reconciliation. The issue is the estrangement that Onesimus has from Philemon, but the argument is for to be reconciled because of Christ's reconciling love.
Right.
Yeah.
What's also, you know, it's fascinating is that Paul is witnessing, you know, teaching us the depths of Christ's love, right? In that he shows a contrast of like, well, you know, I could order you. You owe me. Like, he has these kind of, he shows like, well, there's a position that I have in terms of this kind of authority that we have together. But Christ's love is so much deeper than that, that I want you to see that me doing that doesn't grow you as much as you loving because Christ loved you grows you, which is the pastor, the apostle in him, you know, showing like, listen, let's not just, you're not doing this. He's making sure that like we all know that we're not doing this on behalf of Paul, but Paul is taking the mantle of saying, I'm standing on God's love, so I must say this and do this because I believe it, and you should. Right? Like, it in the back, when I'm reading, man, I'm hearing the, you know, the parable of the unmerciful servant. Right? Like, mercy has been given to you, and then you can't extend mercy to someone else. It puts us in this place of understanding and appreciating grace. Right? Like,
yeah, no doubt.
Mercy and grace for as the root of love and also forgiveness.
It's the whole grace. I mean, the beginning of the letter talks about the grace of God, and then the end of the letter talks about the grace of God, and you can almost take that for granted. Like, it's like, you know, a lot of people will say to you, you know, when they're Christianized, and it's not a bad thing, but it can be a flippant thing. I mean, or it could be like a thing that's overlooked or just repeated. Grace and peace, brother. Mm-hmm. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. And they're getting that from largely from Paul. But it's more than the words. It's actually the relationship. The relationship between me and you, or from one brother to another in Christ, one sister to another, one brother and sister to another in Christ, is the grace, verse 3, to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he begins with that, and then he ends in the last verse, verse 25, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So there's this, like, let's wrap this around and understand that really the wraparound is grace. Grace is what invades and pervades the relationship we have with each other and with people you formerly had a problem with.
Right. And that keeps, you know, it also teaches us to keep Jesus as the centerpiece of our lives and our decisions and how we see relationships. Right, because one could spend so much time on the infraction and forget that what God has done is not only taking care of the infraction, right, between you. Not that communication and conversation is not important to any relationship, but you have the same foundation now, something greater than the infraction that existed, right? The transformation, you know. And the transformation has not only happened in the other person, in the person who might have, you know, done you wrong, but it's also happening in you because you're now growing deeper to understand more about the compassion and love that God has for us. Anytime that we get to sit before that grace and get a deeper understanding, like a more personal understanding, that I think that is when we talk about maturity, right? Mm-hmm. Part of that maturity is recognizing when these moments happen and saying, man, because of Jesus, I can respond differently.
Yeah, it's a, absolutely. It's a very powerful thing to understand Paul's intent here. And Paul's intent is, he's at the end of his life. He knows it's coming. There's no when, and you know what's most important is what's most important. And the beauty of this great beauty, one of the great beauties of this letter, is that the gospel is the most prevalent thing. Yeah. So even with the relationships, it's like, yeah, if we put the gospel first, let the reconciling work of Jesus Christ first, as you're saying, as we look down and look at our relationships with each other, especially those, you know, who don't know Christ and those who do know Christ, right?
Right,
that changes the relationship. If we look at it with the gospel, understanding that the gospel is the most important thing.
Right.
So it's even more important than the actual relationship.
Right.
Which is interesting, right? Because the gospel that we share between me and you as brothers in Christ is the most important thing. Our relationship is important, and it's informed by the grace of God, by the reconciling work, by the gospel, right? That we, in a sense, share the gospel with each other by giving each other grace and forgiveness and, right, saying we are one in the spirit, we are one with the Lord. And knowing that that gospel is the most important thing, that's the gospel that we share, right?
Right.
Gospel that we actually share, not between ourselves, but to ultimately share it with others outside so that they can see what it does to relationships, what it has done to our relationship with God, and what it does to our relationship with each other.
No, that's well said, man. And wow. Yeah, no. It is magnificent, man, in so many different ways and so many layers to how the gospel orders our life, because it teaches us also in this witness that if there is a conflict or an issue, you may want to if you're a Christian or a believer, you may want to consult a Christian or a believer. Because outside of that relationship, you're going to get a different interpretation of what reconciliation looks like.
Right.
So if someone approaches you from a worldly standpoint, they might say, well, you got to write this brother off. And that's just what it is. And they might be stuck on the infraction. While the gospel teaches us to understand the greatest infraction of all of humanity and center us in the reconciling work that God has doing for us, has done and is doing. And so you can't get that outside of these relationships with other just people. And so as Paul is saying, these are Paul's words, right? That relationship might have been useless to you at one time because you didn't have the same foundational belief. But now that we do, we are, as you see me partner, what I love about it is that Paul puts himself in that position of, you see this, we have a partnership and a brotherhood. I love him as my brother, my son in the faith. Now you have to change how you look at this person. He is changing. As much as this is about Onesimus, it's about Epaphras seeing and believing what he believes through this relationship.
Philemon.
But I'm sorry, Philemon, yeah. Who served. Right, got it. Yeah. Thank you.
No, I put Epaphras in the middle of it in the beginning by mistake too.
So. But it's like, you know, Philemon's now, you know, growing in this relationship, in this partnership,
right?
Because of the love of Jesus.
But you know, the power of that is that, you know, it's powerful in the letter because he mentions Epaphras, he mentions, you know, Mark, he mentions Luke.
Yeah.
Aristarchus, he mentions Demas, he mentions Aphia, who may be Philemon's wife, he mentions Archippus as a fellow soldier. In the beginning and the end, he mentions different people in the beginning and different people, and it's all kind of, and he's written this letter along, it's with his own hand, but along with Timothy, his our brother, he calls him. And also Timothy is not only our brother, Timothy is my son in the ministry. Right. You know that from other letters. So it's all about this relationship stuff. Like, look, Onesimus is going to join. It has joined our relationship, our relationships.
Yeah,
so it's not just between me and you. I mean, him and you anymore. The relationship and the contention between you and him. It's not just contentious relationship. It's not just about you and him anymore. It's about the whole.
Right.
All of us who are soldiers, who are on the front lines, who is sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
The work needs to be done and continue. And we do it as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
It's powerful if you think about it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the way it is.
Yeah. It just, you know, practically there is a call then for believers who are reading this message in situations, maybe it's not as detailed or specific to this one, but when you, you know, move some of the situations and the scenarios out, there is a deeper call for brothers and sisters to stand in the place, you know, if you consider me a partner, well, welcome this person in because they are part of the family of believers that holds us together.
Right. Let's, on the other end of this, let's take a break. And on the end of this break, after this break, we can talk about exactly what you just said about these now relationships and now how he perceives Onesimus and seeking to help Philemon to see it the same way.
So, yes, sir.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back after these messages.
Yes.
This podcast is sponsored by New York Covenant Church, Church for Today's World. Find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at New York Covenant or on the web at newyorkcovenant.com.
Yes. All right,
we're back.
Indeed. I know we were just talking about these relationships now that Paul not just anecdotally describes in the beginning and the end of Philemon, of this letter to Philemon from Paul, but it is really, in a sense, strategic, right, to make his point. And I was struck by him calling more than once, and it could be missed, Onesimus, his own son, the ministry. And he says it a couple of times. And he calls him his very heart, right?
That's deep.
Yeah. I have a verse 12, I think. Yeah, there it is. I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. This is after he just said formally in verse 11, Onesimus was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. See, he puts it all together.
Puts it right there, man. Yeah.
Right, because he's a brother in the Lord now. And I am sending him, verse 12, who is my very heart back to you. I'd like to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains. I wish he could take your place because we were tight, like, you know, spandex right back in the day. And now I would like him to take your place. But in helping me while I'm in chains, right? So I just find that it really a great way to kind of explain to Philemon, like, look, he is my heart, man, like this, right? Because sharing the gospel and seeing someone come to Christ and that person now serving as a believer, as a disciple of Christ, that's part of who. That's who we are. That's the heart of who I am.
Right.
He's my heart. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it is the alignment, right, with the gospel message that, you know, Paul speaks of, like, this living witness on such a personal, very spiritual, but very intentional, like, way. And to make it something as so sincere as, you know, this is love. This is what love looks like, you know, in our relationships. He carries my heart with him back to you.
Right.
You know, like, he's upholding all of what I believe relationships should stand for, right, in Christ. One of the, and you know that Paul is, because I want to, the reason why Paul starts, because there's a better word than persuasion that's out there, because this is not just about persuasive kind of conversations. It's deeper, because this is more like he's trying to teach him how to grow up and mature and deeper in love, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just for the sake of doing something, it's for the sake of glorifying God, right? So it's like, it's a witness that is intended to reconcile. It's the beauty of reconciliation. It's not just bringing the relationships back together, but it's glorifying God in that, in the work that God has already done, right? We don't do things just to piecemeal or to say we're good now. No, it doesn't stop there. The glory goes to God for such a people who are far away, mm-hmm. just as we were far from God and have now taken up the will and the love of Christ, and that we may be presented back into a right relationship. The gospel message is live in this experience. And so much so that Paul reminds us that this is not by force, right? But this is voluntary. I want this to be voluntary. I want you to make the decision, right? Like, that's why I'm like, man, this is not just persuasion. Like, no, I want you to understand so that you, because he even says it, right? He goes, you know, but I won't do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would not seem forced, but voluntary. No, I want you to, I'm putting you before God, and me, that you make the decision. Not that I know you're going to make the right decision, but I want you to see it's not just me. It's not me. This is God's message for us to be reconciled. Man, that's just deep. Like it's mm-hmm. you know, you can, you know, from a, you know, listen, contemporary modern, you know, situations that you can find yourself in, most people are expecting other people to change and before they make a change,
right?
And the change that we might be looking for might be the wrong type of change we get. The change actually is, man, someone is led to Christ. That was the only change to make all of this right. I don't need you to make all these adjustments, or, you know, I don't need anyone to make all these adjustments and then somehow make me the focal point. No, I want this, our relationship, to go before God, and you make that decision that carries the love of Christ. And that, yeah, I'll meet you at Christ, right? I'll meet you in God's love, and we can reconcile from that place. Because then any type of conversation that we have, and that's reconciling in nature, is rooted in something far deeper than any agreement we could ever make with each other. You know what I mean? So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think, well, I know that's right. So here's what's another just a great, great, great part of this letter. He says to Philemon in this letter, you know, embrace Onesimus like it was me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Receive Onesimus mm-hmm. like you would receive me. If Onesimus owes you anything, charge it to me.
Mm.
Right? Because, watch this, right? Their relationship, it doesn't matter who's in that place of a relationship with you. It's who's in between that relationship with you.
Ooh, that's it. Man.
Right.
There it is right there.
Can't bring up if you bring up the past, charge to me, because it could be me.
Mm-hmm. Right?
It doesn't matter. Like you could extract me from the relationship and implant new disciple of Christ. And you need to treat him like you would treat me, because we were in the same category.
We're
saved by grace.
And yeah.
We're accepted, right? We're saints now and sinners. So not only are we a sinner, he's a saint. And we need to accept him as part of the saints of God.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, yeah, amen. As you say that, it just dawned, or it's illuminated even more, how formative this is in developing not just our eyes of seeing this, but our hearts, preparing our hearts to receive mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. Paul is doing this kind of like, you know, it's this disposition, your heart and your eyes. See him as you would see me, but more importantly, see him as Jesus would see him in our relationships. Jesus said the centerpiece of our relationship. See him how Jesus would see us. And, you know, I think for our relationships, you know, as believers, as I'm thinking in through this, you know, as we talk about it now, you know, growing and maturing is more about asking ourselves, where is Christ? How does Christ see us versus just see me in this relationship? And that's the profundity of the word. Because you can make it about you and what you have to do and do right. But what is God calling for the both of us? And you said something, we spoke about it last week, and you also said it in your sermon about the almost, another example of the kind of the prodigal son, you know, testimony, right? Of you could miss all the other things that are going on as the son that stayed close to the father, because you're looking at the other side of a relationship, but missing what's happening with you. You were always close, right? You were with me, you know, as the father said in that scenario, in that witness there.
No, the prodigal son is a great parallel to this letter. And thinking about the way you just mentioned is like really, really helpful to look at the brother, not the brother that left and came back.
Right.
Squandered all his money, was you know, eating with the pigs and living with the pigs, if you will, and then came back, and the prodigal son comes back, and the father embraces him. It's the brother who becomes jealous, right, of that relationship, because look at his past. What he did. Look at the mess he made. Look at the money he squandered.
Right.
Why are you killing the fatted calf and having a party for him? I've been with you.
Right. Now,
we have a relationship. I feel like this is impeding on this relationship.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you don't get it. He was lost.
Right.
Now he's found. You've always been.
You've been found.
What are you talking about? You've always been found.
Right.
You're found. You were found, and then we go on like this is just a parable. Mm-hmm. It's a great parable, but you were found because of God's grace,
right?
Right, and so now you've always been with me. You're a part of me, but because of God's grace, you're with me, right? We had this relationship, Philemon and Paul. Mm-hmm. We had this relationship because, you know, Christ found you. But this relationship we didn't have. So now we have to celebrate this relationship.
Right. Amen. So. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a great way of looking. I love how he is not forceful, but he's intentional in his the way he talks to, and we talk about that for a minute, the way he talks to, as you mentioned briefly, talks to Philemon. He's being persuasive. He's saying, you make the choice, as you said, right? You're gonna make the right choice. And he's really pushing him. He's like, let me lay down the scripture. Let me lay down the word for you, in a sense. Let me lay down what God says about this because of the gospel. So this is so critical for you to get. So I know you're going to make that right choice with Onesimus. And I find that very powerful. And I said, you know, many theologians have said that, oh, this gives us a different side of Paul. I disagree.
Yeah, I know.
It's the same it's Paul.
Yeah. Consistent.
Same person.
Yeah.
It's his personality to do that. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm Paul, who is. Anyway, go ahead. You were gonna say?
No. I was thinking actually that same scripture. Bold when I'm not with you, but timid with you. Like he is who he is. The dynamic of Paul's writing is that it's rooted in love, but there's always this level of seriousness to carrying out and leading people to carry out the mission, you know, of glorifying God, right? And also doing right by the church. Like, you couldn't be a timid Paul and have this level of conversation, right? Like, that's why I think it's so much deeper than just persuasion, because it becomes like, it is persuasive, no, without a question, but it's so authoritative because you know that I know, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's saying this, you know that I know the situation now. I'm coming to you and you knowing that I know the situation, and I am showing you biblically what you need to do, but I'm also saying I've already done it.
Right.
Because what Paul could have done is said, you've wronged someone else already. I took you in as my son, knowing that you wronged someone I love already. Paul's, that is hardcore, right? Like, he has become a son. He's become my heart. And I know he wronged you, but I want you to see that he's accepted Christ. And so now we've become brothers. Like, there's no, you know, kind of like, is there, mm-hmm. there's this, you know, it is the best thing to call it. Like, I look at this as leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, you know, sometimes leadership, like Paul is doing here, doesn't fit into our modern kind of context, right? Because it's so infused and entrenched with, you know, these means of persuasion or other ways to, you know, try to get people to do things that, you know, that they should be doing. But he's saying I started at Christ and we move from there. My role as the leader is to step into the gospel message 10 toes down and speak the truth and do it in a way that you get the message that I'm serious about this. Like, I live this. I'm serious about this. Like, there is no, you can't get off of, there's no off ramp to this decision.
There isn't. It's so funny. He's sending him back to Philemon's house, to the church, at this first meeting. And he says, I'm extending what you just said. And he says, oh yeah, prepare a room for me. I anticipate.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll up at some point. And so, because we're all fam. Like, I'm good. That's what he's saying. Like, and then he says, you know, then he goes into Epaphras and Luke and Demas and, you know, right. Yeah. And Mark, yeah. Aristarchus, are all our fellow workers. And yeah, before I said that, one more thing, prepare a guest room for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cause I hope to be, watch this, restored to you and answer to your prayers. It's crazy. Like, it's a crazy great. Like, I hope to be, somebody can miss it, restored to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what you prayed for.
Right.
He is sending Onesimus back to be restored.
Right.
To, assuming that's already done, because I'm assuming you're going to do the right thing. You're going to do even more than I asked. That's what he said.
Right. Right. Then, right.
I'm going to be restored to you. We're all going to be together.
Right.
Because this is what it's about. It's about the reconciling work of Jesus. It's about the gospel that is between us, that we can then take as a family of God, as the church, as the church of the living God, and do the work of sharing it with others.
Yeah.
Because we're living it out together.
And that makes sense as to why then he goes in and lists the other people now. Right. It's not only just me, it's, you know, Epaphras and Mark and Aristarchus, Demas, my fellow workers. Like, you know, there's two pieces of that. It's a community of people, but this is what we all expect from each other. You're a part of this.
You can't talk about the gospel without talking about, in a sense, the relationships you have, or you can't bring that presence of relationships. Like, you can't talk to someone about them knowing Christ and not have behind you if not in physical presence, but in spiritual presence, right? The weight of the weight, the embracement of the whole church, of the people of God who stand beside you and behind you, came before you and will come after you, that will embrace anyone who accepts Christ as Savior, that they're welcomed into the whole family of God, that we're all participate in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Man, you know, it begs to ask the question, and as I consider, like, you know, clippings that I've seen and people preach and all types of stuff, and we, the church at times, the great larger church, or, you know, the gospel message needs to all, has to be told with the reconciliation as its center and a centerpiece. That's what breaks apart this individualized gospel message that gets out there, because that individual message is more about just someone who believes in isolation and not in community.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we can't talk about our individual walks without talking about us walking in relationship together.
There it is.
You can't, because then you miss the reconciling work of Christ, bringing us back into a right relationship, but also forming us as one. Right. No. So that's, you know, like, so anyone right. who considers himself a, you know, especially in this climate that we're in now, political, social, with all these other things going on, if the message that they stand on is one of division, or one of, well, we don't believe that these people, the minute we talk about these people, and especially people who are of faith, who look different, then you are not representing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are representing the poorly interpretation message from your heart.
Right. I can't.
And Paul is saying this is not from someone, this is not from just someone's heart. This is from the gospel.
Right. Right. And I can't take anyone seriously. We should not take anyone seriously who's not a part of the body and active part of the body of Christ. And what I mean by that, I mean, I take them seriously, but I mean, take them seriously as relates to maturity, or as relates to their opinion on things that are, when everything is related, directly related to walk with Christ. I can't take it seriously because you don't have an active walk with the body, with in fellowship with others, because that's the reconciling work. You have to live it out in some form amongst believers in order to live it out outside. And if you're not doing that, then you're not living out the gospel. Living out the gospel is twofold.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the sharing of the grace and the peace, the love, the peace. That's Paul, right? I plead with you or die and send teeth to get along with each other, as in the Lord, right? The Philippians. And it's always about this, like, get along. Let's, especially toward the end of his life, let's have these relationships. We'll see that in Titus. It's important. People have these lists. I've got this and that, and and they're critical of other people. Like, I can't take you seriously. I can't take you seriously because you're not an active part of the body. So it's very hard for me to hear what you're saying, except to help you to find out where I can help you to get back in fellowship.
To get into that place of centering your life in this gospel message, right? Love is right at the center. It is the witness through reconciliation, witness through, you know, mercy, witness through all these things, you know, that Paul is teaching us. And if we can't get to that place, then how do you? That's why it comes back to the unmerciful, the unmerciful servant, the parable. But it comes back to that, like, if love has been given to you, how then in turn can you not share it with others?
Right.
and short.
And that's the witness. The witness is the love between us. So if you can't give that, then how you can't share it, and you can't share the gospel either.
All right. Well, the world will come to, Jesus says that, right? The world will come to know, right, that right. we're disciples by being obedient to the command, right? That command is loving, by loving each other.
Right. And if you love me, because we're using God's love, you do what yep. I say. If you mm-hmm. love me, Jesus said in John, if you love me, yep. keep my commands.
Yep.
Yeah, great stuff, man.
Yes, sir. Right. Much great time, man. What another dope episode down. Good morning, yeah. top of the yeah. morning. We will check back in.
Yeah.
For another, you know, fun filled time in Situations and Solutions.
Getting in it, man. We're swimming in it.
Yeah. Looking forward right. to the next one. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Y'all have a great day. Praise God. We'll see you soon. Take care. God bless.
Peace.
If you like this episode, please subscribe to or follow our podcast. We'll be back at you next week with a new real life situation and an out of this world solution. Peace.